Now, you may remember that old Budweiser song. When you say, Lord, you said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say, Lord, you said you cared enough to only want the King of Kings. Jesus is all in all. He is the very best, for there is nothing more. There's only something less. When you say, Lord Jesus, you've said it all. I mean, different words with Budweiser, right? But it's the tune. And quite frankly, the words I gave you are a whole lot better. It's not a cheap imitation. It's the real thing. And that's what Paul's getting at today, the gospel. Don't you let anybody mess with you and the gospel. Don't let anybody put an addendum or a deletion, an addition or a subtraction. Because if you do, Paul's going to blow a gasket. And he's not the only one. I'm not going to be happy either. The gospel. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And everything minus Jesus equals nothing. We're going to spend today and the next 7 Sundays, walking through this wonderful gift of God, Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Lutherans love Galatians and Romans because it's the heart, it's the bedrock of our Lutheran teaching of justification by faith alone, that we're saved by God's grace alone, that the gospel is Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins and victory for you over the grave, over sin, death, and the evil one. That's the gospel for you. Now, when you look at Galatians, Luther, he wrote a series of lectures, 1535. And in his lectures, in his what I call commentary on Galatians, he calls it the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. It's all about freedom and liberty that is found only in Jesus Christ. And then Luther, in his lectures on Galatians, he writes, "The epistle to the Galatians is my epistle. It is my betrothed. The one to whom I'm betrothed. It is, listen to this, it is my Katie von Bora." That was Luther's wife. That's how Luther thought so highly of Galatians and the word of the gospel proclaimed therein. Don't mess with the gospel, Luther would say. Don't mess with the gospel, Paul would say. Don't mess with the recipe, which is the righteousness of God in Christ for you. Now, not everybody has the same kind of feelings about Galatians. In fact, sometimes people say, you know, Paul must have been kind of in a crappy mood. I mean, he just kind of goes for the jugular. He's not Minnesota nice. Okay? He's just not. Let me explain what I mean. It's obvious that Paul's apostleship is being questioned, debated, and belittled. The very first thing you do in the first century when you're writing an epistle or letter is you have a salutation. You say, well, who is it to? Who is it from? Paul, an apostle. Right? Right away he's going to say, I'm an apostle. And then did you notice in our lesson for today that he didn't go to seminary? I mean, it's not because of the credentials committee. It wasn't because of the synodical candidacy committee. I mean, that's not where he got his authorization. He said, there's a lot of people that go that route. That's good and well. Not me, he said. You know where I got my stuff? I got the gospel directly from Jesus Christ. We know what that is. That's Acts chapter 9. That's where he's on his way to destroy people of the way, to kill people of the faith who believe in Jesus. And on the way, he's brought right down to the ground. And the persecutor becomes a proclaimer. The faith he thought to destroy, he now is proclaiming as the gospel. There's no other gospel. There's no other gospel. There is no other gospel. Don't mess with the recipe. Paul says, my apostleship is not in question. I got it directly from Jesus. And then he says he's writing to the congregations in Galatia, Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. These were pagans who became converts to Christianity, but they were babies in the faith. And you know how it is when somebody's kind of young in the faith. If they're not well established in the faith, well, they could be led astray. They could be duped. In other words, they could all of a sudden start swallowing stuff that isn't true, depending upon who's telling them it. Now, what I love about this letter is that it starts with, this is who it's from, this is who it's to, and then there's this blessing, doxology. Did you hear it? We'll be doing it every Sunday as our greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for your sins to set you free from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. I mean, what a great way to start a letter, right? And then you know what the traditional next step was. It's called the Thanksgiving. You start with a salutation, some greetings, and then you move right into Thanksgiving. It's like, I want to tell you how proud I am of you. I am. You have just been the greatest, right? I'm thanking God every day for you. And we're going, wait a minute now. It's like Paul takes us on an abrupt curve. You caught that, right? There's no Thanksgiving. He gives this beautiful greeting, grace, right? Which saves us and gives us peace in Jesus Christ. Set us free from this present evil age. And now we're waiting for the Thanksgiving, and instead, he goes right for the jugular. He doesn't dance around it. He doesn't say, I'm not going to name the elephant in the room. Paul goes right after it, because sin is serious business. And when somebody adds to the gospel or subtracts from the gospel, when somebody puts an addendum, or somebody does a deletion, that's where you got to put your foot down and say, it ain't going to happen under my watch. This is serious business. Paul says, I'm astonished. I'm befuddled. I'm absolutely beside myself. I can't believe it. Why in the world would you do this? Mary Hinkle Shore, she's a professor at Luther Seminary. She uses a metaphor. She said, how many of you have ever rented a car? Have you rented a car? I've rented a car many times. Now, I got to admit, there's something that makes me, well, there's a couple of things that make me nervous. I always have to look over that car like with a fine tooth. Because, man, you'd bring it back and sometimes they want to catch you for anything and everything, right? Yeah. So I always look it over really good. I inspect it carefully. And then as I'm going through, you know, you have to sign some stuff, and then you're going over these spikes. You know what I mean? You know those big, man, they're huge. Now, the first couple of times, I got nervous. I really did. Because you're going over and you're thinking, I know what this can do to a tire, right? And then they're going to blame me for it. They're going to make me pay for four new tires. Here's the thing. When you're going over it, it's not the problem. You know what the problem is? When you back up. When you go in reverse. When you take what God has given you and you say, but I don't think it's good enough. I think we should, you know, if you're really going to appreciate the gift the pastor today gives to you, if you're really going to understand how much he loves you, well then, you got to do something, right? I mean, you got to do something. And so it seems like we're forever wanting to add addendums. And in the case of Paul, he's upset because the Judaizers or the evangelists, some people that are on his heels, as soon as he leaves the congregation in Galatia, there's a bunch of people that are ready to devour these baby Christians. Sounds sick, but there are people that will devour babies. They're right after there, as soon as Paul leaves, and they say, you know, Paul's a good guy. He is. But you got to understand, He's a people pleaser. He wanted to get your approval. And so he started you in the path. But we're here to get you to the destination. Right? So that you can dot all your I's, so that you can cross all your T's. Okay? So we're going to help you out now. We're going to tell you what Paul didn't tell you, because he gave you gospel light. Gospel light. Cheap grace. Real grace, they say. You got to do something. But it's pretty simple. It's the dietary laws of Moses, ceremonial laws. You got to get circumcised. You know what Paul will say later in his letter about these guys that are adding to the gospel? He says, I wish that when they were using the knife and doing the circumcision, I wish that they would slip and castrate themselves. I mean, that's what he says. I'm not making this up. I mean, Paul is upset. And rightly so. Because people are messing with the recipe. There's a pastor by the name of Ed Marquardt. He's retired, but used to be up there. I think it's Grace Lutheran in Des Moines. He, years ago, I had a chance to hear him preach a sermon on this text, and I don't remember much from it, but I remember a story he told. He said, in my family, we got a tradition. And I suppose I remember it because, I mean, I like cake, don't get me wrong, but I really love pie. And so when it's my birthday, I like to have a birthday pie rather than a birthday cake. But I'll eat cake too, you know? And so here's the story. Ed Marquardt, Pastor Marquardt says, in my family, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, me, all my kids, my grandkids, we've all got a birthday tradition. Every time there's a birthday, we have a cream pie. And I'll even give you the recipe. It's really simple. 1 cup of half and half, 1/2 cup of sugar, 3 tablespoons of flour, 1 teaspoon of vanilla. Bring it to a hard boil on the stove, and then pour it into the pie crust. That's good. Perfect. That's the recipe. But you know what happens, he says? There's always people that want to mess with our recipe. They'll say, you should add some coconut to that. He said, well, then it'd be a coconut cream pie. I don't want the coconut cream pie. I want my cream pie. It's been in the family. It's been in the tradition forever. Don't mess with my family's recipe. Or they'll say, well, but what about a little chocolate or some bananas? He said, well, then it'd be a banana cream pie or a chocolate cream pie. Well, then at least let's put a little meringue on it. You know, make it look pretty. He said, I like it just the way it is. It's been in the family forever. It's a simple recipe. It's perfect just as it is. Don't mess with the recipe. Paul says, you know those spikes at the rental car place? Only a fool would start backing up. The sign says, can do damage to your tires. I mean, it's like Paul is out there and he's watching this person backing up and he's saying, no, 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 no. Stop it. I'm astonished. I don't know if you caught it, but did you hear the word about the curse? I mean, I know we don't like those kind of words, but it's right there. In fact, Paul uses it twice. He imposes the curse upon himself, even upon an angel in heaven. He said, if anyone, myself included, even an angel from heaven, if they preach to you a different gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. Do you catch it? It's right after he's just given the blessing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for your sins to set you free from the present evil age. You see what they're doing? They're exchanging grace and peace for the curse. They're exchanging the liberty that is in Christ alone for condemnation. Paul says, I don't get it. Who's been messing with you? Who's been confusing you? Don't mess with the recipe. There's no other gospel. Now, over time, I bet you've seen, like I have, how people like to mess with the recipe. I mean, they do it on both sides, addendums and deletions. They do. Years ago, it was things like, well, yeah, Jesus has done almost all of it, but you got to live the right life. You got to be morally pure. And real Christians, people that are really saved, who really believe in Jesus, they don't smoke. They don't drink. They don't dance. They don't play cards. You remember those days? All those addendums that got added on to the gospel of Jesus Christ? You remember that? Oh, here's another one. Well, remember it says we're saved by grace, God's gift, through faith, our work. So it was Jesus plus you got to accept it. It was Jesus plus, but you got to respond to it because you got to do something, as though somehow what Jesus did isn't everything. Don't mess with the recipe. Oh, now you got a whole bunch of stuff that they're trying to add. Jesus plus tolerance. You know what Eugene Peterson says about tolerance? It's just camouflage for indifference. It means you put up with crap with a smile on your face. Honor, respect is good. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Those are fruits of the gospel. But don't confuse the fruit with the gospel. Or people say, well, but it's Jesus plus hospitality. Oh, Jesus plus welcome. It's always something that we human creatures want to add because we think that Jesus isn't enough. Or that what he's done isn't enough. Dr. Dan Peterson was here recently. And there was about 15 of us that got a chance to spend the morning, early afternoon with him. Wonderful engagement because it wasn't just him giving us stuff. Huh, we were giving him stuff too. It was back and forth. If you read his email, he sent an email, a beautiful email. He was thanking Mount Cross and the people that came that day because of all the things he was able to learn. He got takeaways. He didn't just give aways. Huh? And one of the things he told us about was a book that was written called Bad Religion, How We Became a Nation of Heretics. I've got the book. I haven't finished reading it all yet. But he referred to one of the pseudo-gospels, one of the counterfeits, you know, the fakes that isn't really a gospel. I mean, this is what Paul's getting at. Because when somebody starts to preach a counterfeit gospel, it's not really a gospel at all. There's no good news in it at all. It's all bad news. Dr. Dan Peterson said, one of the pseudo-gospels is called the prosperity gospel. If you're really a Christian, if you're really living with Jesus, then God's going to bless you with all kinds of good fortune and wealth. And so during the break, I went up and I talked to him about this, and a couple other people by me too, and I said, you know, prosperity gospel isn't the only pseudo-gospel. There's a bunch of others too. He said, yeah. He said, like social justice. This is great. Dan Peterson said that. He said, like social justice. I said, yeah. I said, they become fruits of the gospel, but we make them replacements for the gospel. Jesus plus social gospel, or social gospel minus Jesus. I mean, who needs him? We can just stick with our political agendas, and that'll be enough, huh? And then I said to him, I said, you know, I see them as fruits of the gospel, not a replacement for the gospel. And Dr. Dan Peterson said, but I'd have trouble finding the prosperity thing, you know, as one of the fruits. I said, well, what about this? I said, Luke Acts was written to Theophilus, lover of God, a benefactor, a patron of the gospel. And in the book of Acts, remember a few weeks back, Lydia, a seller of purple goods, she was, well, I don't like to use this word, but filthy rich, right? It was filthy rich until she got converted, until she became a follower of Jesus, and then it wasn't filthy. Now it was faithfully rich. She recognized in her conversion that all the prosperity was never hers, was always God's. And now she prevailed upon Paul. Use God's wealth placed in my hands to serve the gospel. You see? Or you'll have people that want to not just do addendums, they want to do deletion. Well, you know, Jesus is a good example to follow. Like he'd have to die on the cross so he could become a good example for us to follow? Come on, folks. Who has bewitched you? I'm astonished, Paul says. I mean, why in the world would you swallow this stuff? Paul can't believe it. And people will say, so in the name of interfaith conversations, we need to make sure that we start doing some subtraction. Jesus is a good way for you. But, you know, you might be Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or, you know. And so they've got their past too. And so we've all got this same hub. And Jesus works for you. Good for you. But remember, he's just one option. Jesus minus something will give you nothing. You can have everything in the world. And if you subtract Jesus from your equation, you'll have nothing. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the gift we have to offer to our graduates at 10 o'clock today. That there is no other gospel. And they're going to go out into a world like the world we live in, where people are going to be preaching all kinds of other gospels. Did you hear how Mark's gospel begins? Chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning, Genesis, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. That's a declaration. The word gospel was used all over the place in the first century. It means victory announced beforehand. There were lots of good newses, like when Caesar was born or when they had a battle of victory, you know, in a war. Here's what's unique in the New Testament. Listen carefully, because this is the gospel. As a noun, 76 times in the New Testament. As a verb, 54 times in the New Testament. And every single time, evangelion, gospel, good news is used. Noun and verb, always, you ready? Always singular. Never plural. In the first century, there were good newses all over the place. What's unique in the New Testament is there's just one gospel. And Jesus is the source and the content of it. And Paul says, let those who give you a counterfeit be accursed. There's no other gospel. Now, that's not going to be good news for everybody, folks. Because some people want gospel light. And some people want to add their own addendums and their own agendas. But you see, God in Christ has done it all. Everything for you. There's nothing more. There's only something less. When you say, Lord Jesus, you've said it all. I got home Thursday night from a meeting here at the church. 8:30, 9 o'clock. Got on my bike. Turned the television on. I thought if I'm going to spend an hour biking, I might as well see how the Mariners are doing. They're playing the Yankees, or they were. They were down 6-0. I knew that Michael Engstrom, our office assistant here, I knew that he had gone to the game. And I thought he went with his mentee, you know, David Howard. But I found out instead that he had gone with somebody else. So I send him a text real quick while I'm biking. Yeah, that's the nice thing about these smartphones, huh? They even work for dumb people. Here's what happens. I send him a note and I says, I see that it's the seventh inning. The Mariners are down 6-0. You know, I said, losing 6-0. Sorry, hope you and David are still having a good time. And then immediately I got a response back. You know what he said to me on his text? He says, I'm not with David Howard. I'm with Stephen Witte, one of the new members of our congregation. He said, and we're glad that the score is 6-0 with a smiley face. Whose team are you cheering for? Whose side are you on? That, my friends, will determine whether it's good news or bad news. I've got good news for you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for your sins to set you free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. No other gospel. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And everything minus Jesus equals nothing. Amen.